and this is my thing from the beginning, it's the children. It's the 8,000 to 9,000 children. And this is the misconception that a lot of people out there talk
shit. Does this fit into that description?
What's the definition of terrorism? It is the purposeful killing of innocent civilians.
Despite being Jewish, I've been anti.
You know what Israel wants? They want them to be Dubai. Go be the Dubai of the Mediterranean. We wish you luck.
It's hilarious. It honestly, it could be. It's hilarious. It could be a comedy sketch, what he's saying.
Says, as a Jew, I've been to many Holocaust museums.
Locked the rest of you in the basement and said, we'll control your water, your food. We won't let you out.
Greetings of peace. My next guest, Lee Camp, is one of the most censored comedians in America. Writer, podcaster, news journalist, news commentator, and he's also Jewish. And what fascinated me about him was one of his earlier tweets that I read, and I'm going to go ahead and read it to you before we bring him out. Lee Camp says, as a Jew, I've been to many Holocaust museums. They often have a pile of shoes or clothing of those who were killed. It's painful to see. It's moving. One day, there will be a museum to remind us of all the genocide that's been being perpetuated against Palestinians. It's very well might have a pile of thousands of children's shoes. Will you be able to say you did what you could to stop this massacre? Ladies and gentlemen.
This is the Dean Show.
You gotta love me for myself. All the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Dean Show. The Dean Show.
Lee Camp.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing, my friend? How are you?
I'm all right. Certainly can't complain considering the tragedies that are going on around the world.
Let's start off before I play this clip and I'm going to get your reaction to it. What got you into this? What got you just, you know, instead of like many people you covered where you even have celebrities, they get paid off supporting this kind of stuff. You know, people are just busy and hustle bustle day-to-day life and they don't want to get canceled. They're scared to go against the norm. What did it for you that you're speaking up on the side of on humanity?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, for those who don't know me, you did mention at the beginning that I'm the most or one of the most censored comedians in America. But I'm more than a comedian. I've been a political commentator for years now. I wrote, hosted, and co-created a comedy news show that got very popular called Redacted Tonight. It was on RT America. That was shut down. The entire channel was shut down 2 years ago due to U.S. sanctions. But since then, and even before that, I've been censored and suppressed on many different channels and platforms, shadow banned on Facebook. I had my YouTube channel of 250,000 subscribers banned around the world. And many people may hear that and they may think, oh, he's a, you know, far right winger to be that banned and suppressed. But no, they do it against real left-wingers as well, real leftists who actually stand for peace and sustainability. And those are the things I'm fighting for. And it has made me incredibly suppressed, censored, and the like. But like you mentioned, I do more than just comedy. I've been doing political comedy for years. But now, especially in the past couple of years, my live streams, which I do 4 days a week, have very little comedy in them because the truth just seems too important to pause and make the jokes. And you know, I feel like I'm doing something important, so it doesn't bug me that much that I am not doing as much comedy. But these are incredibly critical times. I've been, despite being Jewish, I've been anti-Zionist for years now. But I did grow up, you kind of grow up as a Jew in America just thinking that Judaism equals Israel, and that is not true. There are many millions of anti-Zionist Jews around the world. There are also more Zionist Christians in the United States than there are Jews in the world. So the Zionist experiment, the apartheid state of Israel, is actually more supported by Christians than it is by Jews. And most people never talk about that aspect of it.
Is that the network you were on, the TV program, was that with Abby Martin?
Yeah, she actually, I first started appearing on her show, on RT America, before I ever had a show. And they saw me on her show and then gave me my own comedy show. And I was with her at RT America for about a year before she moved to do other things. but still good friends with her. She's amazing.
Yeah, tell her I said hello. I've had her on the program also. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and get your reaction to this clip here from the PBD podcast.
I cannot remind you enough how many times Israel has tried to compromise with a two-state solution. So let me just read the facts because I don't speak on emotion. 1936 Peel Commission, Israel accepted, Palestinians rejected. 1947 UN partition plan, rejected. And then the Arab Leagues waged a war the next day that led to the alleged Nakba of displacement because they said, get out of here, let's kill all the Jews and you'll take the land back the next day. 1967 Khartoum resolution, rejected by the Palestinians. 2000 Camp David summit, Arafat and Ehud Barak, rejected by the Palestinians. 2005, we tried to compromise. Israel withdrew from Gaza. Could have been the biggest, beautiful resort on the beach and the best piece of land that they had to offer. Instead, they turned it into a terrorism haven.
So we often hear this, that this pushed out there, that they've always wanted peace. And how are you going to have peace when they keep rejecting peace?
Yeah, it's, of course, laughable. And I don't think getting bogged down in the nitty gritty of exactly what was in each different possible agreement, I don't generally think that's of much use, because if you look at the overall structure of this, the overall structure of these agreements, it is as if someone, you know, came into your house, killed a couple of your family members, locked the rest of you in the basement and said, we'll control your water, your food, we won't let you out. But here's an agreement. You get to govern yourself and you can do whatever you want as long as you remain in the basement. And then you, being in the basement with a couple of dead family members, says, you know, I'm not going to agree to that. And now you're the person who turned down peace. So it's a laughable, you know, propagandist viewpoint to begin with, to even go through that stuff. But many of the times, you know, if you get into the nitty gritty, many of the times it's Israel that actually blew up the peace process. The whole idea of the two-state solution is useful to Israel because they can keep finding reasons to never let it happen. Because the truth that they don't want to reveal is they will never allow a Palestinian state because they view it as an existential threat. If you allow a Palestinian state, then that state has certain rights, such as to actually be represented at the UN or to have a military. Or to have access to your own water and food, and to be able to leave and come and go from your country as you see fit. All of those things Israel does not want to allow. So when Israel says, various Israelis say they want a two-state solution, they actually do not. They just know that saying that makes it seem like they want peace.
Let's go into this next clip, and I think this is one of the people on the panelists, Vinny. Met him, seemed like a nice man, and he's thinking he's one whose his humanity seems like it's still there, and he's raising some really good points. So get your feedback on this.
There's no winning in this situation, but this is my thing from the beginning. It's the children. It's the 8,000 to 9,000 children, and this is the misconception that a lot of people out there talk shit. You can be pro-Palestinian kids not dying and not be a supporter of Hamas. That shit drives me bananas because I see people saying that stuff. If you care about the kids, you support Hamas. There has to be a tactical shift where it's not just bomb, 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 because we got to get rid of Hamas. That's my attitude.
Yeah, so he's talking about the kids. I mean, we're seeing, what is it, a population of 2.3, half of which are under 18 children, and they're just being massacred. Their heads are actually coming off from these bombs. And he's speaking logically. What do you think from what he was talking about?
Yeah, he's making a fine point. I unfortunately watched this full video of the Israeli propagandist woman there, the blonde-haired woman, and she goes on after he says that she kind of for a second says I agree with you, but then immediately dodges to how horrible Israelis have it or something like that. So she actually does not want to talk or think or even for a moment think about the number, sheer insane numbers of children that are being murdered daily by the Israeli bombing. I mean, they've dropped enough bombs to equal two atomic bombs the size of Hiroshima. They have killed, as we know, over 20,000 people. 70% of those are women and children. And that doesn't even count the innocent men that they're also killing. So he says that, and there's very little, or I watched most of the video, I didn't watch all of it. There's very little pushback from the hosts. Now, that may be the style of their show, that they just let someone speak. But they let her, for the most part, just spout this complete garbage propaganda about Israel endlessly, and they don't really push back from it. And you mentioned the kids are being beheaded and killed by bombs. You mentioned that point. And earlier in the interview, I think, or later, the other host, when she says, well, let's remember, Israelis are not beheading anyone. Israelis are not doing that type of violence. And the host goes, absolutely, agreeing. Now, of course they are. What's the difference whether a kid, and the whole Hamas beheaded babies we found out is completely debunked. But besides that point, what's the difference between beheading a baby and dropping bombs that behead babies? The only difference is that it allows you a slight level of distance so you can say, oh, we didn't mean to. But we all know after 3 months, after killing over 20,000 people, after having a rate of child murder per bomb that is far higher than any other modern war we've seen in generations or decades, we know they're intentionally doing this. We know this is the goal of Israel. In most modern warfare nowadays, the number of children killed by bombs is like 6 to 8% children. In Gaza, it's 40-some percent our children.
Wow.
43 or 45 percent. So Israel knows what they're doing. The idea that they don't know they're murdering children is laughable. So when she says, oh, Israel is not doing that type of thing. Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you've seen, I mean, you've probably seen most of the footage where you have a father or you have a mother. They're literally picking up body parts.
Yeah.
So there'll be an arm here, a leg here, a head here. So this is false to say that they're not taking off heads, but they actually are, you know, from the sky, from these bombs. From
and Israel, Israel absolutely knew what they were doing by cutting off all resources to the hospitals, cutting off the electricity to the hospitals. You know, we've heard this propaganda talking point at various times over the many decades of a military force killing babies. It was used to invade Iraq back in the first Gulf War against Kuwait. The killing babies thing, they accused Hamas of it on October 7th without any evidence. And so it's used as propaganda, but it's actually true when it comes to Israel, because literally they cut off the electricity to incubators, and we see that those children have died. Thousands of babies in these hospitals have died. And again, Israel knows what they're doing. They are not striking hospitals accidentally. The reason they're doing that is because they want to create a health crisis in Gaza. Even the UN has said half of all Gazans are at risk of dying of starvation, and disease may ultimately kill more Gazans than bombs. And that, again, is Israel's strategy. If they can destroy the health systems, then they can actually kill more Gazans with disease.
Is that the definition of terrorism? I'm going to let one of the co-hosts, he defines what terrorism is. Does this fit into that description?
What's the definition of terrorism? It is the purposeful killing of innocent civilians.
For political agenda.
For any agenda.
And it's such a way to create fear of other things happening.
So what's my
point? Why is it? I mean, I don't have a problem. I mean, you know, you're Jewish, I'm Muslim, we're coming together. It's beautiful to see. And as a Muslim, if something's confirmed that they're innocent, this is something just clear. I mean, you cannot target innocent men, women, children. I don't have a problem. If something's confirmed that intentionally men, women, children are targeted, we'll condemn this. But why is it, if you were to ask someone like this, do you condemn this IDF? Are they doing terrorism? It's like you'll never get someone to condemn that and call it terrorism.
Because in their view, to do the propaganda, the Hasbara, they feel they can never admit that they've targeted civilians. So instead, they act like they haven't. But we know they've targeted civilians. These are not just accidental strikes. We know that they have called journalists and said, we're going to strike you. And the reason they do that is because some of the time they've asked the journalists to leave crowded areas so they can kill them. As with Dr. Rafit Ariel, what was his name? Rafat. But he was told to leave the refugee area he was in if he didn't want that whole area destroyed, which is an admission that they are targeting a civilian journalist, academic, So we know they're targeting civilians. It's not even a question, but they keep denying that. And so they won't admit that. They won't admit it's terrorism, but it clearly is. Although, actually, as I say that, in many ways, they have admitted those things, you know, because we have seen Israeli cabinet ministers say that no one in Gaza is innocent, well, meaning they can bomb anyone. Well, that's an admission of war crimes, because bombing children is a war crime. Bombing civilians that are not connected to military is a war crime. So saying there are no innocent...
Collective punishment? What is it called?
Collective punishment, yeah, absolutely. These are war crimes, and it's ethnic cleansing. It's genocide. If you look at the definition of genocide on the Holocaust Memorial Fund's website, which they're getting it from the UN as well, but you look on their website, and every single box will be ticked as to proof this is genocide. And the only thing that that they could argue, that they try and argue, is you have to have intention. You have to do these things intentionally. Well, many of them have said that there's no innocence in Gaza. Many of them have called these non-human. They've called them beasts and things like that to allow ethnic cleansing. And let's remember, just days before October 7th, Netanyahu got up in front of the UN and held up a map of the Middle East with Gaza and the West Bank erased, gone. And so this is their goal, is to erase the Palestinian people from Gaza. It's so clear. They've really admitted it.
What do you think when you hear statements like this?
You know what Israel wants? They want them to be Dubai. Go be the Dubai of the Mediterranean. We wish you luck. We want GDP. We want happiness. We want success. We want much nachas for you.
A trading partner.
We want exactly. And that, you know who will benefit from that? Palestinian people.
Mm-hmm. When you hear that as someone who doesn't have much knowledge like yourself, you know, just the average person, he's hearing that, he's like, what's wrong with these people? They love for them to prosper, to be like Dubai. Yeah. It's like, what is wrong with these people? Are they insane? Are they crazy? But what are your comments? Someone who's an expert in this, someone who's been covering this for years.
It's hilarious. It honestly could be hilarious. It could be a comedy sketch, what he's saying. Like, you could have an audience sitting there laughing and it would be a great comedy sketch. You go in, you notice he keeps doing this hand motion, pushing outward, because they went in and pushed everyone out of their, you know, ancestral lands, kicked them out, and put at least the Gazans into an open air prison where they don't have access to. So when they keep saying, oh, become the Dubai of the Mediterranean, they don't have access to materials to often do enough food, to clean water. There are so many reasons they cannot, quote unquote, be the Dubai of that area. It's so laughable. They're not even allowed to their own fish. They're not allowed to go fishing beyond a mile outside of the waters there. Israel has destroyed their airport, so they can't have people or things flown in. Israel has destroyed their port, so they can't have boats arrive. Let's remember that the Freedom Flotilla tried to get to Gaza to bring medication. This is years ago, like 2014 or something. And IDF troops and from helicopters landed on the boat and killed one of the unarmed activists. So that is what they get when they try and do anything, bring in materials or anything else. Israel has them in a prison. And so the idea, it'd be like looking at people locked up in an American asylum, a prison, and saying, why aren't you guys building Wall Street here? Why aren't you guys building the massive skyscrapers? Oh, maybe it's because they're locked up in prison. It is so laughably insane. And I mean, it's sad that anyone can hear what he just said and think that that makes any sense at all.
I want to show you this next clip. It's regarding El Beer. He's from one of the disaster relief organizations, his of which raised close to $50 million. I want to get your reaction to this because you've covered a lot of different things like the Hannibal Directive. I think you were one of the first I heard this from. And then get your reaction.
For example, Eli Beer, the president of United Hatzalah, went on a media tour around the United States, telling audiences that babies were placed in ovens and baked to death.
A little baby in an oven. They put them in, these bastards put these babies in an oven and put on the oven. We found the kid a few hours later.
This propelled him and his organization to the forefront of the media for several days, earning tons of awareness for his organization's work. He was able to leverage this media attention into several fundraisers where he managed to collect a whopping $50 million from shocked and appalled donors. But of course, the entire story was a lie. Israeli reporter Ishay Cohen investigated and determined that the story wasn't true. Another Israeli journalist, Chaim Lenenson, had this to say about Eli Beer and the bullshit oven story. Like any good Jew who sees the rich, he thought about the money and told a story that does not exist. But this lie not only raised a ton of money for Eli Beer, it did considerable.
Now, is this just a conspiracy theory or is there any truth to this? Have you covered anything like this? Do you know about this story?
So I haven't covered the specific the organizations, charitable organizations or whatever they are. But in terms of the killing of children, and look, I am opposed to war. I'm opposed to killing. I'm opposed to hostages. So I don't support if Hamas just shot innocent people that weren't IDF fighting with them, then I'm opposed to that. But
absolutely.
But in terms of the evidence we've seen, a large number, a large percentage, and we'll probably never know the actual percentage, of those killed on October 7th were killed by the IDF in crossfire. And you mentioned the Hannibal directive. This is a now fairly well-known directive, although they didn't want it to be well-known, of the IDF, of the Israeli government, that if someone is taken hostages, you kill everyone. You kill the hostages, you kill the people taking them, and you kill anyone around. Because the idea, their conceptual idea is that it is useful. It is more useful to not have a hostage and to just kill everyone around than to try and deal with the hostage negotiations. So they first did this years ago and came up with this directive. And we saw it on October 7th, which actually lasted through about October 9th, where they arrived in tanks. And we now have seen video of tanks just shelling civilian facilities, civilian houses that where Hamas had hostages. And I think Hamas thought that those of them holding hostages thought they would be allowed to return to Gaza with a certain number of hostages if they, you know, that Israel would make a deal with them. But instead, Israel showed up, the IDF showed up and just blew up these facilities, burning everyone inside in many cases. And so the babies they found that had been burned were burned by the IDF. And another example of this is we've actually seen an interview with some of the tank gunners. It was actually supposed to be a pro-Israel interview. It was of the female tank gunner group. So it was kind of these hero females from the Israeli perspective that were, and you know, they're 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. And they talk about how they were driving these tanks and they didn't really know what they were doing. And then they got to the place where the hostages were being held. And she says she was told to fire on the building. And she turned to her commanding officer and said, "Aren't there civilians in there?" And he said, "I don't know, just fire." And she says, "I decided not to fire the tank shells because there's civilians in there, but I fired my gun." So they were firing on civilian structures and they knew it. And that is why we saw so many hundreds killed on October 7th when Hamas's plan was to take hostages.
Well, we've seen a lot. What I've just analyzing all of this and just getting more and more and more educated when this comes up is that the Zionists here, they usually have a script and they go off many of these talking points, like the one that you just refuted there. And a lot of these things, it takes a little bit more investigation, someone to come in, look at, and look at the other side, because I've seen that they're notorious for half-truths. I call them spin doctors, sometimes just outright lies, things that are out of context. I'm going to give one example, and this is one of the people that's debated many who are out there, and he just gets called out. Many times they don't get called out, but I want to commend this news commentator that she actually calls him out.
Oh, okay, so do you have evidence, you've seen a sign of a Jewish Voice for Peace member holding a sign that says, "Clean Palestine of Dirty Jews." That's a pretty remarkable sign. Yeah, I feel like would have gone quite viral if someone had some evidence of that.
They clean. Clean is a Nazi term that was used in the 1930s and 40s. To refer to dirty Jews. Palestine will be free from the river to
Wait,
the sea.
So you're saying you did not see a sign that said clean Palestine of dirty Jews. You're saying that you saw a sign with the word clean and you're reading into that?
Of course I'm reading into it. Wouldn't you?
I see.
Yeah, so in this situation, certain things are put out there like he did, saying that someone was, they had signs. It's actually that it was Jews for Peace, Jews, the Voice for Peace. Have you heard this of this organization? Yep. And he was trying to Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Jewish Voice for Peace does great work. So that's Alan Dershowitz, a pathetic human being who is, you know, a propagandist for Israel and a propagandist for other horrible things such as Jeffrey Epstein. But he's arguing with Breonna Joy Gray. She does great work. And yeah, he said himself, she got him to admit himself that he's reading into a sign that he saw. But I always like to get past these. So let's say someone did see a sign that said something completely anti-Semitic, you know, get rid of the Jews or something like that. Well, okay, that's an anecdotal example of an idiot, of an anti-Semitic idiot. It doesn't mean those don't exist. I'm sure those people exist in this world, and they probably have markers and they probably make a sign sometimes. But that does not justify genocide that Israel is perpetrating. It doesn't justify anything. It is an anecdotal moron who is anti-Semitic. And in terms of the anti-Semitism, which, you know, one of Israel's greatest tactics that they've used for decades is to accuse anyone who's critical of Israel of being anti-Semitic. I mean, hell, they even will call Jewish people like me who are anti-Zionist anti-Semitic, which, again, is laughable. But so that's their thing, is they'll call anyone criticizes Israel anti-Semitic. But in fact, they are the ones making anti-Semitism in this world worse. Because if you commit genocide and you conflate, and they intentionally conflate Israel with all Jews or Zionism with all Jews, which it is not. These are two different things. Yes, it is a Jewish state, but there are millions of Jews around the world who do not support Israel's actions. Israel's an apartheid state. Israel's genocide they're perpetrating right now. So Israel intentionally conflates Judaism with Zionism. And then this increases anti-Semitism. It confuses low information people, and they think that all Jews are committing this genocide when that is 100% not the case.
This next clip is from Rabbi David. I had him on a program early. I want this to hit home when you mentioned apartheid, racism. This is something now that people who say, okay, this is the only democracy in the Middle East, and whatever all the other, you know, Disney-like things that are portrayed with it. This is actually a rabbi who went out and he had his first instance in what he of something opposite to that, and it led him into a state of cognitive dissonance. Let's take a look at this clip and get your reaction to it, and then for people to really understand what they're supporting.
I first went to Israel as a 19-year-old young man trying to find my place in the world, coming to a place where I felt like, whoa, you know, like Israel, that's like my people's country. Very first week, maybe the second or third day, I was in Jerusalem. I was walking down a street that's called Jaffa Street. It goes from the Jaffa Gate to Jaffa, and there's nice old stone shops and stuff. And there was a little boy, maybe 6 or 7 year old boy, bleeding from his hand. He must have cut his hand on a broken bottle, bleeding and crying. And there was two policemen there. So I went to the boy and I said, you know, come with me. And I took him to the policeman, and I said to the policeman in Hebrew, help this boy. And they said to me, what are you talking about? He's an Arab, you know, just get rid of him. So that was my first experience.
Have you seen things like this?
I mean, you know, the videos go around. I've been to Israel twice, once.
Have you have any stories like this?
Well, not specifically like that, but what I do have is, so I went twice. I went as a teenager before I had understood what Israel was, the apartheid state, everything else. And
was that the right of return trip?
Yeah, then I did the birthright trip when I was 26. And I did understand what I was dealing with. I did understand that Israel was an apartheid state oppressing Arab people. And so I went with open eyes that time. And the reason I went was because I figured, well, I want to see the reality. And the truth is, you go on one of those trips because it is funded by Israel, and it is a propaganda showcase. I mean, it is the highest level of manipulation and propaganda. You spend time with the IDF. Many of the young men end up hooking up with women in the IDF. They use sleep deprivation. You arrive jet lagged, and they allow you 2 hours of sleep, and then they get you up and force you to move on so you are delirious. They use every manipulation trip in the book to get you obsessed with Israel or really endorsing Israel. Hilariously, my group ended up being used for propaganda because they saw us sitting in a circle writing in notebooks, and they used that photo on the cover of the main Israeli newspaper saying we were writing, you know, love letters to the prime minister or something. So it's just a parade of propaganda. It's just really impressive, the amount of manipulation and propaganda that I saw. I didn't actually witness abuse of Arabs, but, you know, that's because they try and hide that stuff.
Last question is, when the question is asked, why have so many celebrities, politicians, influencers expressed strong support of Israel? And you give an answer to this. Why is that?
Yeah, I just did an 8-minute video for Breakthrough News. I hope people will check it out. But many of the celebrities, it is genuine. They don't understand what they're talking about. Many of them, they are Jewish. And much like I grew up in my early years, they think that Jewish people just support Israel, quote unquote, and that's the end of the equation. They don't look into the reality. So there is some of that. But in terms of these influencers, many of the influencers, it's been reported, you can find articles, many of the influencers were paid $5,000 after October 7th to make one video saying they support Israel. $5,000 for your average influencer or really your average human on this planet is a ton of money. And so to be offered that much money is just unbelievable. Then you have many of these pro-Israel protests where publicly, we've seen offers of $250 per college student to show up at the one in Washington, D.C. That is a lot of money to a college student. So it is tough to know the number of people that have been paid to make these statements and to be involved in this. But it is clearly a lot. The amount of money that is dumped into creating support for apartheid and support for genocide is clearly a lot. And then you have a Congress, he's running for Congress in Michigan, and he made a video. You can go watch it. I think his last name is Nasser, maybe. He was offered $20 million to drop out of the Senate race and run in the House against Rashida Tlaib because she is the only Palestinian-American in Congress, and she is the only one fully standing up for Palestinians in Congress. And he was offered $20 million. I mean, unbelievable amount of money to manipulate the sentiment and the talking points and the faces that are endorsing genocide.
Last question, Lee Camp, tell us, what advice would you give for someone who's just their humanity's on and they're not liking what they're seeing? You know, they've been programmed over the years. They watch a lot of mainstream media. Where can they go ahead and follow some of your work? And so they don't have to go through a long straight of cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. You know, how should they look more into this to view this properly, the way that so they can get the truth?
I really appreciate that. Step number one is turn off mainstream media. It's even if you mm-hmm. think you're seeing through some of the manipulation, you're probably not seeing through all of it. You people who leave it on are heavily manipulated. I spent my early 20s leaving it on in the background, thinking I was somehow learning something. You're learning nothing. You're just accepting garbage into your head. It just takes a big giant dump in your brain is what it does. So that's step one. In terms of my stuff, the easiest way to find my stuff is leecamp.com, leecamp.com. But like I said, I started a new show with Breakthrough News. I hope people will check that out. And I'm on rumble.com/leecamp as well. But in terms of finding people, other people that are doing great work, you know, there's a whole long list of awesome people that I could give. But I will say many of them are at the media aggregate site, radindiemedia.com, RADINDIE media.com. I created it, but it makes no money. There's no paywalls. It's just designed to show people news outside of the mainstream media. So, you know, I do promote it because I think people need to wake up, but I get essentially no money from it. It just loses money, but I did it anyway. So with Eleanor Goldfield, so radindiemedia.com.
Thank you for speaking out. Thank you. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu. I'm Dr. Rania Awad, and I'm so excited to be here at the Dean Center, mashallah, which is under renovation. And I can't wait to see what's going to come. Inshallah, there's going to be a Dawah Center, there's a masjid, there's a school, an Islamic school, a gym, and what we hope, inshallah, will also have a mental health part of this center as well, inshallah. So I'm asking you to please make sure that you support this effort. Inshallah, I really hope that it spreads and really the knowledge of Islam and people get to know more about Muslims and Islam through this effort.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.